13. Bench approaching Vicar's Pond. So, we made it. It's all much easier from here on in. Just a flat path to walk along with lots of water to accompany us. I've got a story for you next, and I want you to listen to it as you start walking round Vicar Pond. You need to keep the water to the left of you, and so follow the path that bends around to the left just up ahead, rather than going straight on. Don't be tempted to go up any other paths, just follow the water round, and eventually you'll come to a bridge, only a small thing, over a stream. The pond's edge will be to your left, and there will probably be some cars parked opposite. That's where you need to stop, at this side of that small bridge. So, this story. I thought I'd have a go at writing something. It's called Showing Chrysanthemums, and it's read by my friend Andy. And it's connected to something we're going to see very soon. If you haven't set off yet, then let's go.
My mam always said that if it wasn't for Dad's chrysanthemums, she would have gone spare. And that they probably knew more about him than any other person, living or dead, but that it suited her fine. Although sometimes she'd catch her looking out of the window with a bit of a sad look on her face. If there was ever anything that was troubling him, he'd take it out on those flowers. The more care and attention he put into them, the more you knew that something was troubling him from work. It might be a man, or it might be a horse, but something had happened. He was very fond of the horses, and never tired of telling me if one of them had gone into someone's snap bag, because they could. They could take a snap tin out, open it, and eat the sandwiches. Only they couldn't put the lids back on. I must have heard him tell me that 20 times or more as he put me to bed. But they'd pull you out if you were in trouble, he said. If the lights were down, you could get hold of a horse's tail, and it would lead you, safe and sound, through the pitch dark. He was a safety officer at the pit, and sometimes he would go for weeks without saying a word to anybody. He'd just eat his dinner and wander around the chrysanthemums with a trowel and a watering can. And if he did decide to speak, it was nearly always about those bloody flowers, telling us over and over again that it was the Chinese and Japanese that began breeding them over 2,000 years ago, that his father before him had taught him everything he knew, that he could still picture him in his best jacket and cap for the gardening show at the welfare, standing in front of the mirror, brushing his lapels. I went to see him last week, Father, and he was still there in his garden, tending to his flowers, finding it difficult to bend down now, though. And I asked him why he had spent so much time with them. Look at the colour of that, he told me, placing a newly cut chrysanthemum into my hand. Feel how soft that petal is. You look long and hard for that if you've been locked up down there half your life. Long and bloody hard. And then he told me about those he had known who had been injured, or worse, at Mansfield and Clipston and Rufford. About a group of 9 men that his father knew, who'd been killed in an explosion at Bilsthorpe. About how you had to watch each other's backs every minute of the day, however much bad blood there might have been swilling around before you got into the cage. And the accident he witnessed when a young man, a good friend of his, was crushed to death by a coal cutter. And how for weeks afterwards, whenever he shut his eyes, all he could see was the look on that man's face. And the only thing that had helped him through was the chrysanthemums that his father had taught him to grow. Everyone used to come to visit him, my father, to see his flowers. Bronze, brown, purple, red, pink, yellow and white they were. And everybody knew, when they arrived, what each of those fragile and beautiful flowers meant. And they would all come up to him, everyone who visited, and shake his hand, quietly.
You might be at that bridge by now, near those cars, crossing over a small stream. Before you cross over, you'll see a small path to your right that runs alongside the stream. Go up there, and let this keep playing. There were 57 miners who died whilst working at Clipston Colliery. That's what I think of when I see this. You might want to go and take a closer look. Sometimes there are children climbing on it, having their photo taken. But I think it looks better from a distance. There's a memorial that's been installed recently on the site of the headstocks, honouring the memory of those 57 men. Standing here, seeing this, or standing there in front of those names, it's easy to understand why mining has such a hold on the imagination and the culture and the identity of places like these. When you're ready, we'll get back on the path that runs alongside Vicar Pond. Sit yourself on one of the benches near that wooden sculpture with the fish on and go to the next track. I've someone else we should hear from.